Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim has the remarkable ability to focus on what matters now and what's coming next.
You realize that 10,000 hours on the radio is 600,000 minutes of talking, and you've used them all well. Congratulations, and again, happy anniversary.
Celebrating the third decade of the Small Business Advocate Show with our good friend David Dossie. I'm Jim Blasingame. Invention-protection.com, that's how you find David. I encourage you to contact him about anything that you need with your intellectual property strategy. He can help you with that, I promise you. David, thanks again for being here. We're talking about three key areas of timing for your intellectual property. Why timing is important, how to get it done fast and early. Now, what does the clearance process have to do with intellectual property?
Well, the contracts, the trademarks, and even design patents can be relatively quick, and you can possibly have some resolution before a product or service is launched. But the clearance side is assessing your risks of infringing someone else's intellectual property. And so it can run the gamut. You know, if you're introducing a new variation of your existing product that you've used for 20 years or have sold for 20 years, well, you can limit your clearance aspect to that new feature, and it may not be a huge project, and you can have a comfort level about, you know, whether this is risky introducing this feature or not. But oftentimes, if you're launching a brand new product or service offering, the clearance process can be arduous, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And you really want to understand the lay of the land, the potential minefields, before you invest a ton of money in developing the product. And that's what we as attorneys hate to see, is that someone's already gone $100,000 deep in developing a new product, mm-hmm. and then they start the clearance process.
They found out they don't have access to ownership, do they?
Exactly. And yeah. it can hold things up, and then at the end of it, what happens if you find out, well, you're likely to be infringing five other people, competitors' patents? You know, go back to the drawing board. So
what's the answer?
Well, the answer that is that that's a slow process, and you got to get out in front of it. Now, the trade-off is if you know you got to put all this into perspective with the product life cycle, that if you know you're going to be in and out of a product in 2 years or less, well, you don't worry about patent protection because mm-hmm. it's going to take you that long to get a utility patent.
Right.
So maybe you worry about the trademark and maybe design patent protection, but you don't spend the money on utility patent protection. You would still have to weigh whether you want to do any clearance work, but if it's a very short product cycle, you may say, well, if we get into it and it turns out we get the love letter from a competitor saying you're infringing our IP, mm-hmm. you know, if you know ahead of time that you're going to be in and out in a couple of years, you say, well, at that point, I'll accept that as a business risk and we'll deal
so
with
you,
that if
so
it
you,
should
so
arrive.
Could we talk about the difference between the marketing IP and the practical IP, the functional IP? In other words, the marketing part would be the trademark. You want to protect that so you can go to market and that will turn around pretty quickly. Whereas the practical part, the part that maybe you would patent, by the time they find out about that, you're already done with the product. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that can be the case, and
yeah.
and a lot of short life cycle type of products where you know that you're going to be in and out of it, that's just a business risk that a lot of small businesses accept rather than investing a ton mm-hmm. of money in doing that clearance. But you always got to do that with your eyes open rather than having rose-colored glasses on and understand, hey, there's a risk that we're going to run into problems, and if we do, we knew this was going to be a short-run mm-hmm. type of issue, and we'll deal with it and move on. And mm-hmm. then the next time they do it, they'll think a little harder about weighing, do we want to go full on and look at all the potential risks or not?
Well, the main thing is if you're launching any kind of a new project, you got to be building a financial model for that. And if you haven't included the strengths and the expense and maybe even the challenges of intellectual property of that new project. If you haven't included that in your model, then you're not accurate. You're less than accurate, aren't you, David? Last thoughts.
Right. Yep. Last thought is what you mentioned. There are important statutory bars. So when we talk about timing, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least discuss that you have to keep in mind that once you disclose or offer for sale a new product, if you are thinking that it may be patentable, you really need to do it before you publicly disclose
That's
it
right.
or offer it for sale.
That's
Fortunately,
right.
the U.S. does have a 12-month window, but most foreign countries don't recognize that.
But that
window.
12-month goes by real fast when you go to market if you haven't already
That's right.
tried to protect it. Hey, David, good job today as always. Come back soon.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
I told you we'd get smarter when David joined us, and so we did. I'm Jim Blassingame reminding you to seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.